My last guest today, Portia Simpson, was just 24 when she made her mark as the first woman in Scotland to graduate as a gamekeeper. No mean feat when you consider it's an ultra-conservative profession dominated for centuries by men. She began her career as a professional deer stalker, working on the remote Hebridean island of Rum off the west coast of Scotland. She battled the harshest of conditions, but perhaps worst of all, the prejudice of head keepers, not convinced that a woman had the mental or physical capacity to be a hunter. Well, after reading Portia's recently published memoir, The Gamekeeper, I must say deer stalking is not a profession for the faint-hearted. She describes dragging stags more than twice her own body weight from peat bogs, heaving them onto ponies, then gutting the carcasses for game butchers. But look, her memoir is also a heartfelt love letter to nature and the rugged beauty of her homeland. Portia joined me recently from Aberdeen in the north of Scotland.
Hi there. How are you?
Good, good. What on earth inspired you to follow such an unusual career path?
Well, I was always very outdoorsy, even from a young age, and I actually started off in forestry and worked as a tree surgeon. But it wasn't until my granny's 90th birthday party that my uncle mentioned to me the possibility of a career in gamekeeping. And he said I should maybe go to the college and ask them a few questions. So that's exactly what I did. And a year later, I became a gamekeeper.
Now, just a little bit of background, because your parents and your brother were real townies. They weren't animal people at all, or the countryside people, were they?
No. My dad worked offshore and my mum works as a secretary. And my brother, he actually works in banking, stocks and shares, so... None of them were really outdoorsy at all, so I was kind of the black sheep of the family.
And this very perceptive uncle, I think that's very interesting that he suggested this.
Do you know what? He actually wanted to follow a career in gamekeeping when he was younger, but he got married, he had some children, and, you know, it's not a very high-paying job, and he kind of ended up working offshore just to get money, you know? So it's a bit of a shame he never managed to do it, but... I've managed. I think he was quite pleased about that.
I think that's wonderful. Now, I have to, just going through, you know, chronologically, you go out with this Uncle Angus and his neighbour Billy. You'd never held a rifle before. And Billy kills a deer. And the reaction from you is quite intriguing.
I'll be honest, I was really, really upset when I saw the animal because it was so beautiful. I thought, how can we kill and eat something so amazingly gorgeous and stunning? Then I thought to myself, you know, we eat pigs and cows and they're not particularly good looking, and we don't even think twice about it. It's strange how we kind of have more sympathy for an attractive animal. But I'll tell you what, when I ate it, I changed my mind.
And obviously a fair bit else changed as well.
Yeah.
So now, gamekeeping is traditionally, I mean, I think Australians will even wonder what it is really, but it's a very conservative, male-dominated profession. I'm wondering what reaction you got from estate owners when you went to job interviews, for instance.
The estate owners weren't too bad. It was more the gamekeepers. The estate owners, I don't think they care that much as long as the job gets done, but the gamekeepers are the people that I would actually have to work for. So you could see they were very dubious about it. They kind of, they gave me some very, very funny looks, as though to say, you know, I'm a big, tough man, and a little girl like you can't do this job. And it was quite intimidating. I didn't get many jobs from interviews. I ended up getting my job through word of mouth.
Tell us what a gamekeeper actually does.
Okay, so basically Scotland, it has a really, really large proportion of the world's heather moorland. So it's a really rare habitat. And there's different types of gamekeeping. There's grouse keeping, pheasant keeping and deer stalking. And, of course, I was involved in the deer stalking. So many years ago, we killed all the predators in Britain. We killed all the wolves, all the bears, all the lynxes, all the animals that basically keep the deer populations down. So because we did that, we then have to control the numbers ourselves. So the gamekeepers, we do control a lot of the deer ourselves, but we also have a lot of paying guests. So the guests pay to shoot a certain number of deer. and we have to give them a really, really good holiday. And it's actually really good fun. It's best time of the year. But there's other things we have to do as well, like heather burning and path repairs and all the boring stuff that comes along with the job.
So when you say it's the great time of the year, you mean going on the hunt with the guests. Is that what you mean?
Yes, yes, that's it. When the deer season opens, that is our best time of the year. We know we're going to get maybe 12, 13 weeks of guests back to back. I'll be honest, it's very, very hard work, but we always get tips. So the tips, they can be quite good. You know, you can get a couple of £100.
Now, I have to intervene because I just know that there'll be thousands of listeners saying, how can a girl who loves a natural world revel in the, I know you've explained it a bit, but revel in the deaths of these wonderful animals?
Do you know, I wouldn't say I'm reveling in it. It's just, to me, hunting is the most natural thing in the world. It's like I was born to do it. It's difficult to explain unless you actually have hunted yourself and taken home a deer and maybe eaten it or tanned the skin and made it into a rug, or, you know, you've actually, because we're so used to buying meat from shops, we don't know where it comes from, we don't think about it, we just shove it in our trolley and eat it when we get home. But it was just like, I don't really know how to explain it. It's just natural.
So it's basic, it gets you, it thoroughly propels you out of the, quote, civilised world by the sound of it.
Yeah, well, I'm not too much into the civilised world, I've got to be honest. Put me in a bothy in the middle of a bog somewhere and I'm perfectly happy.
Now, you do tell a story at the very start of the book, which is pretty scarifying, in your prologue, about one of the unintended consequences where you fell asleep out on location, as it were. Tell us about the result of that and how there was something really shocking nearly happened.
Well, I'd been out with a client and he'd shot a deer. We were on the west side of the island. It was an amazing day. We were overlooking a lighthouse and we were waiting for the ponies to come up to collect the deer. But they were very far away, so I told the guest, just go on home, just take the path home and go down to the beach and enjoy yourself. I shall deal with this stag. So I dragged it down the hill. Obviously, I graliced it, which is disemboweling it. So anyway, I dragged the stag down the hill and I decided, you know, it was going to be about an hour before the ponies got here, so I might have a little sleep. Now, you've got to take into account, I was covered in blood. All my arms are bloody and there wasn't any streams nearby, so I couldn't wash it off. So I lay back in the heather, spread-eagled, limbs everywhere, and I fell asleep. And after about 20 minutes, everything suddenly went dark. Because, you know, when you're sleeping and you can see the sun behind your eyelids, kind of a red colour. And all of a sudden, everything went black. And I looked up and there was a golden eagle. And it must have been about 2 foot off my torso. And honestly, I swear to God, and this thing had its talons, like, reaching out. It was going to land on me. And, oh my God, I screamed. And the thing is, the eagle must have thought I was dead because it flew over. It saw this dead stag, guts everywhere, me lying spread-eagled, covered in blood. It obviously thought I was its lunch.
Just let me tell listeners, it's Portia Simpson who's telling us this story. The sorts of stories we don't regularly hear on Saturday Extra. The first woman in the Scotland to graduate as a gamekeeper. But since you graduated in 2003, I gather, as 24, the female gamekeeper as a group have become much less of a rare breed.
Do you know what? When I qualified, I got a lot of press coverage and it kind of showed girls that it was actually an option that was available to them. And sure enough, the next year they were inundated by females wanting to do it.
Just getting back to the sort of seriousness behind it, the serious intent, because you very much see yourself, correct me if I'm wrong, as playing a role as a conservationist not as a straightforward hunter. So tell us how you see yourself in that role.
Well, at the moment, I'm working for a conservation agency on a project called Saving Scotland's Red Squirrels. But even when I was working as a gamekeeper, I did see myself as a conservationist. Because, I mean, you have to keep the deer numbers in check. If you don't, so basically the deer numbers will just explode. And, you know, when deer get older, their teeth wear flat. And when their teeth wear flat, they can't chew the grass properly and they can't get the correct nutrients out of the grass. So they actually end up dying of malnutrition. So you end up with hundreds of dead deer lying around the hillside. You know, it's not a good thing. But I've seen estates that do very, very low culls and don't really keep their deer numbers in check properly. And the state of the animals is just terrible. They're really, really low body weights and crawling with parasites. Oof, yuck. So we keep the herd in a really, really good condition, a good balance.
It's an extraordinary thing to think about then, the intervention of really a human predator, I suppose, like you, to that extent. I know you're not doing it for your own advancement, but is important. I mean, that's sort of against one's understanding of evolution, really.
No, well, humans were always a natural predator of deer. We evolved hunting and killing deer, so we are a natural predator. I know we ended up killing all their other natural predators, like wolves and bears and
lynxes. Yes.
So we kind of have to pick up the extra numbers.
Do you get many Australian tourists there up in your part of the world?
Absolutely none whatsoever. And can I just say that the Isle of Rum is actually off the west coast of Scotland, just below the Isle of Skye.
Right.
So if you ever want to visit, it's an amazing place to visit. You would love it.
But now you're not there, are you? Like it was quite a precarious career, it turns out, your book describes, and you had to retire after a knee injury.
Yes. Actually, my knee isn't too bad now. It's kind of borderline passable. It's about usable. But that job, it was very, very hard. So I was climbing anything up to a couple of thousand feet every day, dragging big, heavy animals. And it was, do you know what, it was just too much for someone with an injury. But I've got a new job now anyway. So.
Which is trapping squirrels.
Yes. It sounds bad, but it's not. It is a conservation agency and the project Saving Scotland's Red Squirrels. What happened is, the grey squirrel is actually an invasive species from America, and we're trying to protect our little native red squirrel. So sadly, the grey squirrel is twice the size of the red, and it's much bigger, bolder, outgoing, and they just cannot live together. And what happens is the greys outcompete them for food and territory. Mm. So once the grey numbers get up in a specific area, they just push them out. So they end up in a smaller and smaller and smaller place in Scotland, you know, and the greys advance forward. So we have to sort them out.
Sounds like our minor birds. We've got Indian minor birds and native minor birds. That's just one of the versions in Australia. And I take it those old blokes now respect you?
I think most of them do. I hope they do. There's maybe one or two that don't, but, you know, they can just go stuff themselves.
Well, Portia, it's been great fun, and I congratulate you. Thank you very much indeed, and I'm sure you've encouraged some Australians to take off there. Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much.
Remarkable Portia Simpson, and her book, The Gamekeeper, is a Simon & Schuster publication.